Parted from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake. And God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through, to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And the 20th chapter records that God spoke the words of the Ten Commandments in the hearing of the people, and they heard it. And in the 18th verse of chapter 20, after the commandments were spoken, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Now all through the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, the people of God stood in fear and in awe of God. And in the same way that God spoke here to Moses and said, Set you a bound around the mountain, lest the people come forth. If they gaze upon my presence, or if they touch the mountain, they're going to die. And so set a bound that the people cannot come near me, but have them gather around in a close proximity and let me speak to them. And you see that the scripture reveals that the people were in dread and fear at the presence of the Lord. And that when they heard the roar of the voice of God, they said, Moses, don't put us through this. You find out from God what it is he wants. You come tell us. But we don't want to go near the presence of God because we're afraid. Now, there are many today that think that God is still dealing with people the same way. But he's not. That's an old covenant. The book of Hebrews tells us that if the old one was a good one, that there would have been no reason for a new. There's a brand new covenant. And Paul tells us in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and if you'll turn to that, he tells us the circumstances under which we may approach God today. That it's not like it was under the old covenant. It's not like it was in the days of Moses, where the people were afraid to come into the presence of God, and where God had to say to them for their own protection, Moses, keep them away from me, because if they look upon my presence, they'll surely die. Now we understand from our reading of Scripture and from the witness of the Holy Spirit that the reason for that is that God cannot look upon sin, will not look upon sin, will not stand in the presence of sin, and anything that is sinful passes away. That God is a consuming fire and he burned it up. In those days, man was in a sinful condition and redemption had not been purchased for him, and he was unable in the condition he was in to appear before the presence of God. Praise the Lord, it's not like that anymore. Hallelujah, we're not living under that covenant. Glory to God, it's not like that anymore. We can approach the presence of God. And we're in his very presence this minute. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 18. Now listen to this carefully. For ye are not come unto that mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye, having not come to that mountain, ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Paul said, you haven't come to the mount that can't be touched, but you have come into the presence of the Almighty God, that you have come into the presence of Jesus Christ, the mediator, and into the presence of the sprinkled blood of the Son of God, which provides for us access into that holy place where God is. And there's no need for you under this covenant to have fear in the presence of God. Because God is no longer that consuming fire on the mountain which is separated from us by a bound. But Jesus Christ broke through that bound for us by his shed blood that we might come into the presence not of a consuming fire, but into the presence of a loving, caring Heavenly Father. We're not come unto the mount that can't be touched with fire, but we are come as the church of the firstborn into the presence of God Almighty himself. Do you know that as we sit here today, right now, as you sit there and I stand here, that we are in the presence of God Almighty? Amen. Do you know that he is here just as much as you are and just as real as you are? That the presence of Almighty God is just as real in this auditorium as is the presence of that person that's seated next to you. Now you can't touch him with your hands, and you can't see him with your natural eyes, and you can't hear him with your natural ears. But in a few moments, if you're sensitive, and if you'll let your faith work, you'll be able to hear him with your spiritual ears. You'll be able to see him with your spiritual eyes. You'll be able to touch him with your spirit. But you might even be able to smell the fragrance of the Spirit. How many of you have ever smelled the presence of God? Smelled the fragrance of his presence? Let me see your hands if you ever have. A few. You just sense the fragrance wafting through. I can't describe it.
But when you experience it, you'll know it. The presence of Almighty God. If you're a Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have had the sprinkled blood applied to your life, you come unto God without any bounds. There are no bounds. They're all gone. They're broken down. We come into His presence. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the 5th chapter, Paul was concerned about a particular sin that existed in the Corinthian church. And in the middle of that discourse, he instructed the church there that when they gathered together, that they were to do something concerning this man who was in deep sin. He said that they were to expel him from their fellowship. But right in the middle of that passage of Scripture is a terribly important truth for the church. It's in the 4th verse. Paul's words, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit," in other words, I'll be there as well in spirit, "with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ." What's he saying? He's saying when you gather together as the church, so shall the power of the Lord Jesus Christ be present with you. And it's an expression of faith from the lips of Paul or from the pen of Paul in accordance with what Jesus himself said in Matthew the 18th chapter and the 20th verse. Where two or more of you are gathered together, there will I be in the midst. Now whether you know it for sure or not, let me declare unto you on the strength of God's word that God himself is here in the midst of us. He is here in our presence by the power of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit is in this place, just as He promised. Now His Spirit is here to speak to us. His Spirit is here to minister to us. His Spirit is here to touch us, to lead us. One of the things that strikes me about Exodus 19 is that God instructed Moses to gather the people together. He said, keep them a safe distance because I can't have this personal contact with them yet in their present condition. But gather them in a place where I can speak to them. God wants to speak to His people. He wants to talk to His people. He wants to share His heart with His people. In the same way that those of you that are parents, you want to talk to your children. You want to share with your family. This tonight gathered is the family of God. And our Father's here. And He wants to talk to us tonight. And so we're going to have what I call a believer's meeting. And a believer's meeting is indicated to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you want to turn over there, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We haven't done this in a while. I don't know why. I guess sometimes we get so busy doing things in a customary way. When we come into the house of the Lord, we sing and we pray and we preach and we minister. And the Lord has an opportunity along the way in there to slip in a few words. Maybe a message in tongues will come, maybe a prophecy, maybe an interpretation of tongues. We believe that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us through the preached word. His Spirit is able to touch us individually as we're singing and worshiping, praying, praising the Lord. He's able to minister to us in an individual and personal way. But I believe He wants to do more than that, and especially tonight, I sense it in a special way. In the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church concerning some problems that they were having in the church, and he's correcting some excesses. Frankly, what would happen when they would all come together, they were so enamored with this newfound ability that they had to speak in other tongues. It's a miraculous occasion. And we live our life in this world in the absence of miracles. And when you find that you are a walking miracle, and when you find that you have a miracle in your mouth, sometimes you get carried away with it. And that's exactly what happened in the Corinthian church. They got carried away. And when the church came together, when they began to worship and began the Spirit of the Lord began to move, everybody decided they wanted to speak in tongues, and there'd be one over here jump up and out would burst this so-called message in tongues, and somebody said, well, I want to get in on this act. I can do that too. And up she would jump and off she would go. And then over here would be a guy that he said, well, I can do that. And up he would jump and off he would go with a string of something that nobody understood. And there was no interpretation to follow, and all it was a bunch of kids playing with a new gift and didn't know how to use it properly. And so Paul was giving instruction in this passage of Scripture about how people ought to act, Spirit-filled people ought to act, as they come together in the church. He didn't say there's anything wrong with the use of tongues. As a matter of fact, he said, I would that you all spake in tongues. I want you all to do it. It's beneficial and it's profitable, and God's established it in the church. But everything is to be done orderly and decently, and it's to be done as led of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 26 is the verse I want to zero in on tonight. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. And what Paul has really given us here is a pattern for New Testament worship. He's telling us that in the service, there will be a psalm. There will be a doctrine, in other words, a teaching. There will be a tongue, in other words, a message in tongue, so to speak. There will be a revelation. There will be an interpretation. And that everybody in the body of Christ will have an opportunity to minister in one or more of those ways. But it needs to be done orderly, and it needs to be done as led of the Holy Spirit. If you come into the church and everybody decides, I want to speak in tongues, you have 200 messages in tongues. And everybody says, well, I want to teach a doctrine. And so you have 200 folks clamoring for the microphone, and everybody wants to preach a little doctrine. And everybody wants to read a psalm. And so you have somebody bouncing up over here and reading a psalm, and bouncing up over here and talking over one another and trying to draw attention. Paul says, it ought not to be like that. That all of these things are to be done in the service, but they're to be done orderly, and they're to be done as led by the Holy Spirit, and whatever happens is to be done unto edifying. In other words, it is meant to build up, to edify the believer. Now, this is what I'm going to have us to do tonight. I believe that the Lord would lead this way. I'm going to stop exhorting and teaching. I'm going to sit down. We're going to all go into an attitude of prayer. If you want to pray in tongues, that's fine, but pray quietly in the Spirit. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to begin to move among us. How many of you believe that God is a living God? How many of you believe that a living God can talk? How many of you are willing to allow Him to speak through you? That's enough. Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let me give you just a word of instruction so that you will know how to yield to the move of the Spirit, and so that you'll know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Remember that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was like a wind, and that He blows where He wants, and nobody knows where He came from and where He's going, but He leaves His imprint. The Spirit of the Lord, as He begins to move through this congregation in just a few moments, and as He begins to touch individual believers, many of you, having never experienced that before or being unfamiliar with the way that the Spirit of the Lord moves, some of you may be like I was at one time, thinking that the Holy Spirit would light upon you and do something dramatic to you and force you to do something. He won't force you to do anything. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never require you to do anything. You can do it if you want to. You can yield to Him and obey Him and go on and do what He's calling you to do, or you can refuse. It is much more pleasant to obey than to refuse, I can tell you that. He will never make a fool of you. He will never embarrass you. Now, you can embarrass yourself, but He won't embarrass you. Well, what will it be like if the Holy Spirit does ask me to do something? What will it be like? What will happen? If the Spirit of the Lord wants you to share a revelation, He'll bring a passage of Scripture to your mind. All of a sudden, as you're sitting there and just meditating and concentrating on the Lord, and a passage of Scripture will just begin to turn over and over in your mind. It may be a chapter and verse. He may tell you, Exodus 22:6. If he does, you just turn to it. If that begins to come through your mind. Remember that in the book of the Proverbs, the Scripture says that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Don't expect him to write it in bright lights for you. The Spirit of God dwells on the inside, and when he wants to communicate with you, he will talk to your spirit. And so the gentle nudging on the inside is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you. And so a Scripture may come, perhaps chapter and verse, perhaps not that way. Perhaps it's a familiar passage that you remember, and you may have to look it up to find out where it is. And you ask the Lord, just ask him, same way you would ask me or anybody else. Say, Lord, do you want me to share that? He knows how to talk, and he'll answer you. And if he does, then you watch for an opportunity. You wait for an opportunity. You don't run over somebody else, but you open your Bible, and when the opportunity is presented to you, you begin to share that. Just read that passage of Scripture and just share that. A doctrine, a revelation, something, an impression that the Lord may be giving you. Often you, some of you in the past, I look around, I see some faces of some folks who have been deeply touched at services like this that we've had in the past as the Spirit of the Lord has moved. I want you to feel liberty to allow the Holy Spirit to move upon you. If he gives you something to share, if it's a message in tongues, you feel free to do that. If it's an interpretation, you bring that. If it's prophecy, which is supernatural utterance in our own language, then you bring that. Thus saith the Lord. If it's a revelation or a doctrine from the Word, if it's a song or a psalm, you go on and bring that. If the Lord gives you a song, perhaps a chorus, will begin a familiar chorus, will just begin to go over and over in your mind, and it'll just start rolling around in there. A chorus perhaps we're all familiar with. You just start singing that, and the Spirit of the Lord will tell the rest of us whether we're to listen or to join you in worship and pray. Do you understand how we're going to move here? Okay?
For God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns.